Chapter 1, Before Breakfast. Where's Papa going with the axe? Said Fern to her mother as they were setting the table for breakfast. Out to the hog house, replied Mrs. Arbor. Some pigs were born last night. I don't see why he needs an axe, continued Fern, who was only 8. Well, said her mother, one of the pigs is a runt. It's very small and weak, and it never amounts to anything. So your father has decided to do away with it. Do away with it? Shrieked Fern. You mean kill it? Just because it's smaller than others? Mrs. Arbor put a pitcher of cream on the table. Don't yell, Fern, she said. Your father is right. The pig could probably die anyway. Fern pushed a chair out of the way and ran outdoors. The grass was wet and the earth smelled of springtime. Fern's sneakers were sopping by the time she caught up with her father. Walked to the sink and washed his hands and dried them on the roller towel. Fern came slowly down the stairs. Her eyes were red from crying as she approached her chair. The cartoon wobbled and there was a scratching noise. Fern, looking at her father's father. Then she lifted the lid of the cartoon. There, inside, looking up at her, was the newborn pig. It was a white one. The morning light shone through its ears, turning them pink. He's yours, said Mr. Arba, saved from an untimely death, and may the good Lord forgive me for this foolishness. Fern couldn't take her eyes off the tiny pig. Oh, she whispered. Oh, looking at him. He's absolutely perfect. She closed her cartoon carefully. First, she kissed her father, then she kissed her mother, then she opened the lid again, lifted the pig out, and held it against her cheek. At this moment, her brother Avery came into the room. Avery was 10. He was heavily armed, an air file fully, and one had a wooden digger in the other. What's that? He demanded. What Fern got? She got a guest for breakfast, said Mrs. Arbuckle. Wash your hands and face, Avery. Let's see it, said Avery, setting his gun down. You're called that miserable thing, a pig that fine specimen of a pig. It's no bigger than a wild white rat. Wash up, eat breakfast, Avery, said his mother. The school bus will be along in half an hour. Can I have a big tuba? Asked Avery. No, I only describe pigs too early, Riser. And said Mr. Arba. Fern was up at daylight, crying to ride the world of injustice. As a result, she now has a pig, a small one, to be sure, but nevertheless a pig. It just shows that can happen if a person gets out of bed completely. Let's eat. But Fern couldn't eat until her pig had a drink of milk. Mrs. Arbuckle found the baby's nursing bottle and her rubber nipple. She poured warm milk into a bottle, heated the nipple over the top, and handed it to Fern. Give me his breakfast, she said. A minute later, Fern was seated on the floor in the corner of the kitchen with her infant between her nest, teaching it to suck from the bottle. The pig, all tiny, had a good appetite and got on quickly. The school bus honked from the road. Run, commanded Mrs. Arba, talking the pig from Fern and slipping a dog hunt into her hand. Avery grabbed his gun and another dog hunt. The children ran out to the road and climbed into the bus, and Fern took no notice of the others in the bus. She just sat and stared out of the window, thinking what blissful world it was and how lucky she was to have entire charge of a pig. By the time the bus reached school, Fern had named her pet, selecting the most beautiful name she could think of. Its name is Wilbur. She whispered to herself. She was still thinking about the pig and went to the teacher, said, "Fern, what is the capital of Pennsylvania?" Wilbur replied, "Fern," dreamily. The puppy's giggling. Fern blushed.
Chapter 2, Wilbur. Fern loved Wilbur more than anything. She loved to stroke him, to feed him, to put him to bed. Every morning, as soon as she got up, she warmed his milk, tied his bib on, and held the bottle for him. Every afternoon, when the school bus stopped in front of her house, she jumped out and ran to the kitchen to fix another bottle for him. She fed him again at supper time and again just before going to bed. Mrs. Arable gave him a feeding around noontime. Each day, when Fern was away in school, Wilbur loved his milk, and he was never happier than when Fern was warming up a bottle for him. He would stand and gaze up at her with adoring eyes. For the first few days of his life, Wilbur was allowed to live in a box near the stove in the kitchen. Then when Mrs. Arable complained, he was moved to a bigger box in the woodshed. At 2 weeks of age, he was moved outdoors. It was apple blossom time, and the days were getting warmer. Mr. Arable fixed a small yard specially for Wilbur under the apple tree and gave him a large wooden box full of straw with a doorway cut in it, so he could walk in and out as he pleased. "Won't he be cold at night?" asked Fern. "No," said her father. "You watch and see what he does." Carrying a bottle of milk, Fern sat down under the apple tree inside the yard. Wilbur ran to her and she held the bottle for him while he sucked. When he had finished the last drop, he grunted and walked sleepily into the box. Fern peered through the door. Wilbur was poking the straw with his snout. In a short time, he had dug a tunnel in the straw. He crawled into the tunnel and disappeared from sight, completely covered with straw. Fern was ancient. It relieved her mind to know that her baby would sleep covered up and would stay warm. Every morning after breakfast, Wilbur walked out to the road with Fern and with her till the bus came. She would wave goodbye to him, and he would stand and watch the bus until it vanished around a turn. While Fern was in school, Wilbur was shut up inside his yard. But as soon as she got home in the afternoon, she would take him out and he would follow her around the place. If she went into the house, Wilbur went too. If she went upstairs, Wilbur would wait at the bottom step until she came down again. If she took her doll for a walk in the doll carriage, Wilbur followed along. Sometimes on these journeys, Wilbur would get tired and Fern would pick him like this. And if he was very tired, he would close his eyes and go to sleep under the doll's blanket. He looked cute when his eyes were closed because his lashes were too long. The doll would close her eyes too, and Fern would wheel the carriage every slowly and smoothly so as not to wake her infants. One warm afternoon, Fern and every very put on bathing suits and went down to the brook for a swim. Wilbur tagged along at Fern's heels. When she waded into the brook, Wilbur waded in with her. He found the water quite cold, too cold for his liking. So while the children swam and played and splashed water at each other, Wilbur amused himself in the mud along the edge of the brook, where it was warm and moist and delightfully sticky and oozy. Every day was a happy day, and every night was peaceful. Wilbur was that farmers call a spring pig, which simply means that he was born in springtime when he was 5 weeks old. Mr. Arable said he was now big enough to sell a would have to be sold. Fern broke down and wept, but her father was about it. Wilbur's appetite had increased. He was beginning to eat scraps of food in addition to milk. Mr. Arable was not willing to provide for him any longer. He had already sold Wilbur's 10 brothers and sisters. "He's got to go, Fern," he said. "You have to have your fun raising a baby pig, but Wilbur is not a baby any longer, and he has got to be sold. Call up the Zuckermans," suggested Mrs. Arable to Fern. "Your Uncle Homer sometimes raises a pig, and if Wilbur goes there to live, you can walk down the road and visit him as often as you like." "How much money should I ask for him?" Fern wanted to know. "Well," said her father, "he's a runt. Tell your Uncle Homer you've got a pig you'll sell for $6 and see what he says." It was soon arranged. Fern phoned and got her Aunt Edith, and her Aunt Edith hollered for Uncle Homer, and Uncle Homer came in from the barn and talked to Fern. When he heard that the piece was only $6, he said he would buy the pig. Next day, Wilbur was talking from his home under the apple tree and went to live in a manure pile in the cellar of the Zuckerman's barn.
Chapter 3. Escape. The barn was very large. It was very old. It smelled of hay and it smelled of manure. It smelled of the perspiration of tired horses and the wonderful sweet breath of patient cows. It often had a sort of peace smell, as though nothing bad could happen ever again in the world. It smelled of grain and of harness dressing and of axe grease and of rubber boots and of new rope. And whenever the cat was given a fish head to eat, the barn would smell of fish, but mostly it smelled of hay. For there was always hay in the great loft up overhead, and there was always hay being pitched down to the cows and the horses and the sheep. The barn was pleasantly warm in winter, when the animals spent most of their time indoors, and it was pleasantly cool in summer, when the big door stood wide open to the breeze. The barn had stalls on the main floor for the work horses, tie-ups on the main floor for the cows, a sheepfold down below for the sheep, a pig pen down below for Wilbur, and it was full of all sorts of things that you find in barns: ladders, gridstones, pitch forks, monkeys, wrench, scythes, lawnmowers, snow shovel, axe handles, milk pails, water buckets, empty grain sacks, and rusty rat traps. It was the kind of barn that swallows like to build their nets in. It was the kind of barn that children like to play in. And the whole thing was owned by Fern's uncle, Mr. Homer Lil Zuckerman. Wilbur's new home was in the lower part of the barn, directly underneath the cows. Mr. Zuckerman knew that a manure pail is a good place to keep a young pig. Pig need warmth, and it was warm and comfortable down there in the barn, cellar on the south side. Fern came almost every day to visit him. She found an old milking stool that had been discarded, and she placed the stool in the sheepfold. Next to Wilbur's pen, here she sat quietly during the long afternoons, thinking and listening and watching Wilbur. The sheep soon got to know her and trust her. So did the geese who lived with the sheep. All the animals trusted her. She was so quiet and friendly. Mr. Zuckerman did not allow her to take Wilbur out, and he did not allow her to get into the pig pen. But he told Fern that she could sit on the stool and watch Wilbur as long as she wanted to. It made her happy just to be near the pig, and it made Wilbur happy to know that she was sitting right there, right outside his pen. But he never had any fun. No walks, no rides, no swims. One afternoon in June, when Wilbur was almost 2 months old, he wandered out into his small yard outside the barn. Fern had not arrived for her usual visit. Wilbur stood in the sun, feeling lonely and bored. "There's never not anything to do around here," he thought. He walked slowly to his food trough and sniffed to see if anything had been overlooked. At lunch, he found a small strip of potato skin and ate it. His back itched, so he leaned against the fence and rubbed against the boards. When he tired of this, he walked indoors, climbed to the top of manure pile, and sat down. He didn't feel like going to sleep. He didn't feel like digging. He was tired of standing still, tired of laying down. "I'm less than 2 months old, and I'm tired of living," he said. He walked out to the yard again. "When I'm out here," he said, "there's no place to go but in. When I'm indoors, there's no place to go but out in the yard." "That's where you're wrong, my friend, said a voice. Wilbur looked through the fence and saw the goose standing there. "You don't have to stay in that dirty little yard," said the goose, who talked rather fast. "One of the boards is loose. Push on it. Push on it. And come it out." "What?" said Wilbur. "Say it slower. At the risk of repeating myself," said the goose. I suggest that you come on out. It's wonderful out here." "Did you say a board was loose?" That I did, said the goose. Wilbur walked up to the fence and saw that the goose was right. One board was loose. He put his head down, shut his eyes, and pushed. The board gave away. In a minute, he had squeezed through the fence and was standing in the long grass outside his yard. The goose clucked. "How does it feel to be free?" she asked. "I like it," said Wilbur. "That is, I guess, I like it." Actually, Wilbur felt queer to be outside his fence, with nothing between him and the big world. "Where do you think I better go?" Anywhere you like, said the goose. "Go down through the orchard, root up the sod. Go down through the garden, dig up the radishes. Root up everything. Eat grass. Look for corn. Look for oats. Run all over. Skip and dance. Jump and prance. Go down through the orchard and stroll in the woods. The world is a wonderful place when you're young.
I can see that,
replied Wilbur. He gave a jump in the air, thrilled, ran a few steps, stopped, looked all around, sniffed the smells of afternoon, and then set off walking down through the orchard, pausing in the shade of an apple tree. He put his strong snout into the ground and began pushing, digging, and rooting. He felt very happy. He had plowed up quite a piece of ground before anyone noticed him. Mrs. Zuckerman was the first one to see him. She saw from the kitchen window, and she immediately shouted for the man. "Homer!" she cried. "Pigs out! Larvae! Pigs out! Homer! Larvae! Pigs out! He's down there under the apple tree! Now the trouble starts," thought Wilbur. "Now I'll catch it." The goose heard the rocket, and she, too, started hollering. "Run, run, run! Downhill! Make for the woods! The woods!" She shouted out to Wilbur. "They'll never, never catch you in the woods!" The cocker spaniel heard the common, and he ran out from the barn to join the chase. Mr. Zuckerman heard, and he came out of the machine shed, where he was mending a tool. Larvae, the hired man, heard the noise and came up from the asparagus patch where he was pulling weeds. Everybody walked toward Wilbur, and Wilbur didn't know what to do. The woods seemed a long way off, and in a way, he had never been down there in the woods and wasn't sure he would like it. "Get around behind him, Larvae," said Mr. Zuckerman, "and drive him toward the barn. And take it easy. Don't rush him. I'll go get a bucket of slops." The news of Wilbur's escape spread rapidly among the animals on the place. Whenever any creature broke loose on Zuckerman's farm, the event was of great interest to others. The goose shouted to the nearest cow that Wilbur was free. And soon all the cows knew. Then one of the cows told one of the sheep. And soon all the sheep knew. The lambs learned about it from their mothers. The horses in their stalls in the barn pricked up their ears when they heard the goose hollering. And soon the horses got caught onto what was happening. "Wilbur's out," they said. Every animal stirred and lifted its head and became excited to know that one of his friends had got free and was no longer pent up or tied fast. Wilbur didn't know what to do or which way to run. It seemed as though everybody was after him. "If this is what it's like to be free," he thought, "I believe I'd rather be pent up in my own yard." The cocker spaniel was sneaking up on him from one side. Larvae, the hired man, was sneaking up on him from the other side. Mrs. Zuckerman stood ready to head him over if he started for the garden. And now Mr. Zuckerman was coming down toward him, carrying a pail. "This is really apple," thought Wilbur. "Why doesn't Fern come?" he began to cry. The goose took command and began to give orders. "Don't just stand there, Wilbur. Dodge about, dodge about," cried the goose. "Skip around. Run toward me, slip in and out, in and out, in and out. Make for the woods, twist and turn." The cocker spaniel sprang for Wilbur's hind leg. Wilbur jumped and ran. Larvae reached out and grabbed Mrs. Zuckerman, screamed at Larvae. The goose cheered for Wilbur. Wilbur dodged between Larvae's legs. Larvae missed Wilbur and grabbed the spail instead. "Nicely done, nicely done," cried the goose. Try it again, try it again. Run downhill, suggest the cows. Run toward me, yelled the gander. Run uphill, cried the sheep. Turn and twist, honked the goose. Jump and dance, said the rooster. Look out for Lurvy, called the cows. Look out for Zuckerman, yelled the gander. Look, watch out for the dog, cried the sheep. Listen to me, screamed the goose. Poor Wilbur was dazed and fetched by this hullabaloo. He didn't like being the center of all these fuss. He tried to follow the instruction his friends were giving him. But he couldn't run downhill and uphill at the same time. And he couldn't turn and twist when he was jumping and dancing. And he was crying so hard he could barely see anything that was happening. After all, Wilbur was a very young pig, not much more than a pig, baby. Really, he wished Fern were there to take him in her arms and comfort him. When he looked up and saw Mr. Zuckerman standing quite close, looked up quite close to him, holding a pail of warm soaps, he felt relieved. He lifted his nose and sniffed. The smell was delicious. Warm milk, potato skins, wheat midlicks, Kellogg's cornflakes, and a puffer left from the Zuckerman's breakfast. Come, pig, said Mr. Zuckerman, tapping the pail. Come, pig. Wilbur took his step toward the pail. No, 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 said the goose. It's the old pail trick. Wilbur, don't fall for it. Don't fall for it. It's trying to lure you back into gravity. He's appealing to your stomach. Wilbur didn't care. The food smelled appetizing. He took another step toward the pail. Pig, pig, said the Mr. Zuckerman in a kind voice, and began to walking slowly toward the barnyard, looking all about him instantly, as if he didn't know that a little white pig was following along behind him. You'll be sorry, 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 called the goose. Wilbur didn't care. He kept walking toward the pail of soups. You'll miss your freedom, hugged the goose. An hour of freedom is worth than a barrel of soups. Wilbur didn't care. When Mr. Zuckerman reached the peg pen, he climbed over the fence and poured the soups into the trough. Then he pulled the loose board away from the fence, so that there was a wide hole for Wilbur to walk through. Reconsider, reconsider, cried the goose. Wilbur paid no attention. He stepped through the fence into his yard. He walked to the trough and took a long drink of slops, sucking in the milk hungrily and chewing the pub over. It was good to be home again. A while Wilbur ate. Lurvy fetched a hammer and some 8-penny nails and nailed the board in place. Then he and Mr. Zuckerman leaned lazily in on the fence, and Mr. Zuckerman scratched Wilbur's back with a stick. He's a quiet pig, said Lurvy. Yes, he'll make a good pig, said Mr. Zuckerman. Wilbur heard the words of praise. He felt the warm milk inside his stomach. He felt the pleasant rubbing of the stick along his itchy back. He felt peaceful and happy and sleepy. This had been a tiring afternoon. It was only about 4 o'clock, but Wilbur was ready for bed. I'm really too young to go out in the world alone, he thought as he lay down. That's all. Thank you for listening. Bye.